Our scripture reading comes first from the Old Testament book of Joshua in the fourth chapter, reading verses 1 through 7 and then verses 22 and 23. Joshua chapter 4 and at verse 1. When the entire nation of Israel had finished crossing over the Jordan River, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood. Carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.'" Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites, whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. Then you shall let your children know, 'Israel crossed over the Jordan here on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we crossed over.'" And then reading in the New Testament in Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica in the fifth chapter and at verse 16. "Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gratitude is not always easy. Sometimes it's very hard to be thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful for different reasons. Things happen to us that are just not very pleasant. And giving thanks isn't in our mind. We're anxious. We're troubled. We're filled with sorrow and grief. We're trying to resolve the situation around about us, and thankfulness is not there in our minds at that particular moment. Sometimes it's hard to be grateful just because we're so busy with life. It's not that we're not grateful. We just forget to give thanks. We're busy doing other things and life rolls along. And time has gone by and there may be some gratitude in our hearts, but we just haven't said it. It hasn't come out. It's not been expressed to people who sometimes need to hear that from us. This difficulty in giving thanks is not new. It's something that was part and parcel of the life of God's ancient people, Israel, even in times when it should have been obvious that they ought to have given thanks. So we go back to one of the primary stories of the life of ancient Israel, to the story of the Exodus, and we find God finding a leader for the people, sending him to Pharaoh, the bad king, using his power to deliver the people from Pharaoh, to move on their way to the Red Sea, which looks like an insuperable obstacle. The waters of the Red Sea part. The enemy is killed. The good people end up at the right side, and you would think they would be filled with gratitude at that moment. But they're not. All they see is not what God has done behind them, but the desert that lies ahead of them. And there, instead of gratitude, is grumbling. And lots of grumbling again and again and again. So even at the moment when there ought to have been gratitude, the gratitude is not there. Sometimes it's just plain hard to be grateful. Sometimes we lose our gratitude for simple reasons. For me, it's often when I lose something that my gratitude goes. So I lose my cell phone, or I lose my keys, or I lose my wallet, and I forget that they're usually in the place I last left them, if I could only remember where that place was. But at that moment, I'm filled with anxiety. Sometimes, of course, it's much more serious than that. If you lose your wallet, and you really do these days, you may lose your identity. Things can go really, really wrong, and things really do go wrong in life at different times. In those times when things go wrong, we sometimes are tempted to say to ourselves, well, if only my circumstances were different, then I could be grateful. If I weren't in this particular predicament, then I know that I would be thankful. And there are times in which that may not be a bad thing to say, Lord, change the circumstances. I've prayed that prayer. But even as I pray that prayer, we come face to face with the fact that in the Scriptures, there's a whole line of thinking which says to us that no matter what our circumstances are, we should be filled with gratitude. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we should be filled with gratitude. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica that the Christians are to rejoice always, to pray constantly, and to give thanks in all circumstances. This is no trivial passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul has suffered a great deal. I mean, he's been beaten, he's been thrown in jail, he's been shipwrecked. All kinds of things seem to have gone wrong in his life, even as he's given his life over to God, made known in Christ Jesus. And yet he writes these words, and they don't sound trite, they sound real, as if they're coming from a deep place in his life. To rejoice always, to pray constantly, and to give thanks in all kinds of circumstances. And perhaps we could add, whether you feel like it or not. Whether you feel like it or not. We live in a feeling culture, and we often determine our behavior by how we feel. But once again, there's a whole strain of thinking in the Scriptures which says that that's back to front. That in fact, if we get our behavior right, then our feelings will fall into line. Maybe not immediately, there's no magic here, but there's some things that we ought to do whether we feel like it or not. We say to ourselves, well, then my gratitude isn't genuine if I'm doing it because I have to do it. But once again, I think what the Scriptures would say is, just do it, and then see what happens after you do it. This sense of just doing it is very much tied in with our Scripture reading in Joshua. The people of Israel have left Egypt in slavery, they've crossed over the Red Sea, they've grumbled along the way, they've spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness. It's been a tough ride, but they've seen the hand of God at work. They come to the edge of the Promised Land, and they've got to cross yet another body of water. It's the Jordan River. And they see the hand of God stopping the Jordan River so that they can cross on dry ground. What Joshua knows, though, is this, that even though this is a miracle, and at that moment, everybody is giving thanks to God, that very quickly people will stop. They will get busy with life. Trivial things and serious things will take over their lives, and so gratitude will not be a part of their life as it ought to be. So God is at work in his life, and he says, listen, while the waters have still been stopped, go into the bed of the river and find rocks and pull them out from the riverbed and place them on the side and build what in Scotland we would call a cairn, a pile of stones. We've got so many stones, you can build cairns everywhere. But build a cairn so that in days to come, when the water comes back in the Jordan River, your children will say to you, what in the world is that? It looks as if somebody did something there. And people will be able to say, ah, let's remember what God did here, because we're prone to forget. And the corollary of that, of course, is and then give thanks for what God has done. You may not feel like it, you may not even think about it, but what God gives to us is this pile of stones, some rocks, which help us to remember when our brains, well, something else is going on, we're far away, to focus on giving thanks, to make ourselves do it whether we feel like it or not. And God does this kind of thing at different times in the Scripture. Perhaps the most prominent item of remembrance that we have as Christians is right behind me and above me. But right behind me, Jesus commands us to set a table of remembrance. Whether we feel like it or not, we come into church every Sunday, and there before us is this table in which we're reminded through the bread and through the wine that God has given himself to us in Jesus Christ, no matter what has happened to us through the week. His body was broken, his blood was shed for us. God did something in space and time that nothing can change. And his love for us, from that moment back then has never changed at all, one centimeter. It's the same love, constant, no matter how life goes. There is this constancy, this rock onto which we can hold, this table to which we come. We've been told to have a table where we worship, this do in remembrance of me. We haven't been told to hang a cross in our sanctuary, but we do that, and many Christians do, for exactly the same reason. And in our sanctuary, of course, it's so prominent that, in fact, it is something we can do every time we walk in here. Lift up our eyes and look at what God has done for us, no matter what has happened during the week, whether we're grateful or not, to say that over everything that there is stands this unfathomable love of God coming into our lives in the good times and the bad times, walking with us as a good shepherd and leading us, sometimes through dark valleys, until we come to the place where we see God clearly, as we all will one day. Gratitude, whether we feel like it or not. We still may say to ourselves, that just doesn't feel right. Well, we're in this culture of feeling, so it probably doesn't feel right. But it is what the scriptures teach. And it is, interestingly, something that science is actually picking up on. So let me close by reading you a story by Deborah Norville. She wrote this a few years ago, but she wrote a book called Thank You Power, Making the Science of Gratitude Work for You. She tells this story about a man by the name of David Columbia, who moved to New York City in order to make it in the big city, in the Big Apple. But he wasn't really making it in the Big Apple. He had been there some time, and things were really just not going his way. In fact, he was about to quit. And despair was setting into his life. He was pretty miserable. Instead of leading his company, he was running errands for somebody else. And on a particular dreary Saturday morning, he was running an errand for somebody else, getting paid for it, but it wasn't exactly why he came to the big city. As he was doing this, a thought entered his head. He said, "This is no way to live. I've got to change what I do." So he began looking around about him and allowing his mind to think in a different way. A mother was pushing her baby in a stroller, and the baby was oohing and aahing, and there was a sense of joy on the mother's face, and he began to smile, and he saw that joy in another. He passed a bistro, smelled the wonderful aroma that was around there, and he was grateful, even though he wasn't going in at that time, for the cooking, for the baking, for what people can do. He saw a jet, he said, in the sky, flying by, filled with amazement at the things that we are able to do in this world that were just unimaginable not many years before. Passed a store, perhaps wasn't able to buy what was in the store window, but what he saw was gorgeous, and his spirits were lifted up. And he said to himself, "I'm going to do this again." By the time Deborah Norville met him, it was 20 years later. He hadn't quit the big city. Things had gone well. It wasn't as if everything changed just like that overnight. There was no massive miracle that took place. But he said his whole attitude did change, and it changed everything, the way that he began to see things, and eventually other things began to change as well. Deborah Norville goes on to say that more and more scientific studies confirm that when we decide to do something, whether we feel like it or not, something begins to happen in our being which changes for the good. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. This is a command. Just do it. Do it, says the Apostle Paul, because it's the will of God. Okay, I'll do it for you. But I think when we do it for God, and we find some stone of remembrance somewhere, or the table, or the 1,000 thanks on the cards out there, when we do it for God, I think there's a real sense in which God says, "No, no, no, I'm doing it for you. When you do it for me, you win too." And that, I think, is what God wants for all of us. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks. Grit your teeth sometimes. in all circumstances. For this really is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we get lost in the weeds. Sometimes the weeds are really painful and difficult. And we wish the path we were on was not the path we were on. Sometimes things are going pretty well. We still don't see that. We're blind. We're busy. Get things out of perspective. Help us to use this day, which in itself is like a stone of remembrance, and to use other days, our gathering together weekly in church, to be times when we refocus, sort things out, get things in perspective, and quite deliberately give thanks. So may we see you at work within our lives and through our lives, in the lives of others. Bless us so that we can be a blessing, we pray. With thanks, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen.